There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 690, September 24th, 2015. Nasser?
This edition of F1 Weekly podcast is brought to you by our favorite bottled water, Vitel, flowing smoothly in Marina Bay.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, has the pendulum begun to swing? Renault has 12 tokens left, yet are they saving them for next year? Could Ferrari say no to the bad sportsmanship of Red Bull? And of course, stay tuned for Motorsports Mondial with the King. We've got 50 words on the Singapore Grand Prix and a new segment called Loosh on the Loose. Nasser, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you. Hope all is well in Cali. But Mr. Rogers, this is serious business now. We all know how much you love your collection of classic French cars. But before you, this, I put some thoughts into this, okay? Before you take your Citroën Dorchevo diesel for smog check, make sure you ask the Total Repair Center if they have the latest Bobby Fuller edition of software for passing the test with flying colors.
Of course, Nasser. I take it to the Yves Saint Laurent test, where they just give it a little sniff.
Well, I got to say this, our friends at VW has taken brazenness to a whole new level.
Not only that, but a week ago we were talking about VW possibly coming into Formula One. After this, they're not coming into anything because all they're going to be doing is counting money to give to said governments across the world.
Yeah, and they may be coming soon to a Department of Justice, meeting.
Oh, absolutely. Unbelievable. And not only that, but to think that nobody would figure it out in this high-tech savvy world.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, I was thinking that when you're selling cars, if you fool 4, 5, 10 people, you may get by. But if you're fooling 100 or 200 people, you're really playing with fire. Now, this was 500,000 cars sold in this country in the last 4 or 5 years. And now they are saying, oh, we had this in 11 million cars. And 11 million cars, just to have a full picture, is more than what Volkswagen sells worldwide every year, which includes Porsche, Audi, Seat of Spain and Skoda of Czech Republic. I just hope, you know, this does not take the company down, because a lot of people who work in these companies, they are innocent. So I don't want them to pay for, you know, and then, you know, what really pissed me off, to see the outgoing CEO, how much millions and millions of dollars he will get.
Yep. They don't work on the F1 weekly pay scale over there.
Yes.
No, very interesting. And trust me, Audi may have to pull out of Le Mans. This could be a big problem for a lot of programs that come out of the VW, Porsche, Audi boardroom.
Yeah, because, you know, they're saying that this could be even bigger than the problem BP had after the, you know, their problem in Louisiana.
Some people are calling this the Enola Gay.
Uh-oh.
Of VW.
Oh, boy.
And you're not kidding. It's little boy and big boy.
Oh, yeah. This is seriously. This is. I have a feeling that this now, you know, that some German company magazine has printed that one of the BMW model also did not pass, or, you know, was outside the tolerance level. And BMW is saying, hey, our cars are okay. But there is more to come on this saga.
Absolutely. And there you go. I always told everybody, buy a Chevrolet.
And see the USA.
And see the USA with Doris Day.
There you go.
Thank you very much. Anyway, let's go for it excitement, 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 except for one thing. Once again, Fernando fails to win the Grand Prix.
Yeah, man. I mean, one of these nights, he has to win the race.
Eventually.
Yeah. But, you know, for me as a racing fan, if this guy is to go out with two championships, that would be a very, very sad thing. Very sad thing for the talent that was Fernando Alonso.
Well, he's not. Let me put it this way. He's not going to win a third championship at McLaren.
I don't think so. As much as I would like to say yes, I don't think it's going to happen.
And it looks like Jenson Button is getting ready to retire.
Yes.
There's a lot of sunsets over at McLaren.
Yes, but you know the sun will rise someday for them.
Well, we hope so, because they're counting on the rising sun.
Yes, absolutely. And I think they will sort of, I heard that Honda is designing a new engine. Apparently their problem was with all these add-ons, you know, the KEG, MGK, NGK, you know, whatever, all the Ks that were there. The most important was already missing, but we'll see how it works out.
Yes, I heard they're going to bring back the CVCC.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, what a glorious weekend to see Mercedes cry and whimper.
Yeah, well, you know, LCH, his nights in white satin were over after qualifying and race day in Singapore for Blondie. And I heard he was carrying a heavy heart of glass on his way to the airport. And I just hope the Singapore girl was able to cheer him up.
Well, I'm sure he got a lot of cheer. When you're at the top of the heap, you get a lot of heap for your dollar.
Heap and heat.
And heat.
There you go. Were you surprised that what happened with Mercedes in qualifying?
Well, I was surprised because, as we discuss every podcast, I always hope for one thing, and you always tell me it's going to be Mercedes, and it's always Mercedes. I mean, they've been good at every track, including Canada, including Monaco. So to think that they would not be good here is interesting. And sure enough, I think they're having problems with the tires, but I think they're having a bigger problem. And don't forget, they're now running that new spec engine, you know, because they spent their last 7 tokens on the new upgrade for the 2016 motor, which they introduced at Monza, the perfect place to introduce a fast motor due to the fast pace of Monza, and it showed how successful it was. But that was just one Grand Prix. Now we see the other side of the coin, and this could be very interesting. I expect that they'll be back on top in Japan, but Japan has been rainy, and we might get that monsoon that Fernando has been praying for.
Yes, and you know, while the brain trust at Brackley, where the Mercedes F1 team is based, while they are trying to find out what led to the first non-finish for LCH and the overall piss-poor performance over the weekend by the team, we at F1 Weekly have the world exclusive on LCH's Singapore situation. And, you know, we have spies all over. So our spies in the UK at MI5.5, they are reporting that in the wee hours of Sunday morning in Leighton Buzzard, an esteemed member of the F1 Weekly Familia was seen entering the DNF chapel. And his prayers were answered when LCH retired from the race, which I now find out after suffering a loss of turbo boost when a 99 cent plus VAT hose clamp broke. How pathetic is that?
It's really pathetic, and I don't believe anything anybody says anymore when it comes to kablamos or reliability issues. It's all scripted, and you don't know what is really going on. And for Germans to have a hose clamp that they bought over at Dollar General fail is hard to believe.
Yeah, and you know, some of our listeners, I'm sure, know about Joe Leonard. He was a guy from San Jose. Actually, he's the American John Surtees. He won the American Motorcycle Championship and then the IndyCar Championship. One year with these STP turbine cars, he was leading. There was a caution at Indy late in the race, and when the green came out and he, you know, floored the pedal to the metal, like a $2 or some part broke, and he lost victory in the Indy 500. So it happens to the very best.
It does happen to the very best. We'll see. But nevertheless, both Mercedes looked pathetic. Both Mercedes were slow. both Mercedes looked stinko, and I say, and I heard it this morning, the creaking of that rusty old pendulum. See, the pendulum is very rusty right now.
Yes.
It hasn't been moving, you know, but it's slowly, as the weight counteracts the rust and the corrosion, I heard it begin to descend, to go back into the way of Fernando.
So I guess the haze in Singapore will be going with Lewis and Nico to Japan also.
I would think so, but we shall see. Japan, very interesting track. I love Japan, on my bucket list for sure, but we'll see what happens. I'm expecting rain, I'm hoping for rain, and I'm expecting Honda to do and pull out the miracles.
And you know, talking of Nico, as the singer with the same name and nationality said in the Lou Reed song, "Thursday's Child is Sunday's Clown," Nico, the racing driver, may become the third man of 2015 and may have to find comfort in all tomorrow's parties after the season is over. You know, it is hard to believe that with the best package, he now has the same number of wins as Sebastian Vettel.
Yes, let me put it this way. Nico has already put in the application. It's official. You actually can call him Rubinho.
Yes, and you know the good thing for him that he signed a contract, his extension some years, maybe last year, for a lot of money. And Mercedes must be wondering, what have we done here? But they have the money to pay him. And as long as they don't become misery loves company, as they don't get involved in the VW stuff, because they also sell a lot of diesel cars and trucks, I think they'll be all right.
I think so, too. And don't forget, Toto Wolff even mentioned last year that if they could, they would get Fernando Alonso, El Macho de España.
Yeah, and it's amazing. You know, this is just, you know, like people talk about, I didn't get a fair shot at racing, they don't like me, this and that. I mean, Sebastian Vettel, in a few short months at Scuderia Ferrari, has really become the new sheriff in Maranello, despite being teammate to the man who gave the team their last driver championship. And Seb is now only, I think, 8 points behind Nico.
Exactly. Now, this is going to get really exciting, especially if we continue to visit the DNF Chapel. And, of course, the Pope was in the United States today, and he'll be here for a couple more days. And I have texted him to please put in a good word for the DNF Chapel and the F1Weekly.com studios.
So we might see Nando winning a race this year? Okay, Roberto Meri, this is the beautiful world of Formula One. Roberto Meri lands in Singapore and gets the Isaac Hayes CD from Manor Racing Team.
Who is a man that would risk his neck for his brother, man?
The Spaniard was in the air when the Alexander Rossi deal was being finalized, and upon arrival in the No Chewing Gum Kingdom, was told your services are only required for 2 of the 7 remaining races. So this allowed the California kid, Mr. Alexander Rossi, to make his long-awaited and much-deserved debut with Manor Team. What do you have to say about the Rossi crashing in practice on Friday, then coming back and doing a pretty good... I mean, a lot of people are impressed by his performance, by the way.
Well, you know, he's not that big of a rookie. I mean, this was his first Formula One Grand Prix, but he's driven Formula One cars for a while. And don't forget, GP2 cars are almost as fast as Formula One cars now.
Yeah, very true.
I didn't see a great surprise. And to be honest with you, I expected him to do what he did. I thought he did well. And, of course, the only thing he needed to do well was bring the car home.
Yeah, and in front of his teammate.
Yes, and exactly. No, he did fine. He beat his teammate. He did what he was supposed to do. And this could help his career.
And, you know, I was very happy for him because I've known of his story for quite a few years. And, you know, he is one of the first drivers we ever interviewed. And this was back in the day in the USA when he was racing in Formula BMW. So I look forward to seeing him in action in Austin next month. And I'm sure most of our listeners know, you are for sure, Rossi is the first American to race in Formula One since the happy-go-lucky days in 2007 of Scott Speed and another of our favorites, with Antonio Liuzzi.
Very true. So both of those guys, I mean... Rossi, we've both interviewed. He's been a F1 Weekly child, let's say. Let's see how quickly he forgets F1 Weekly if he has any success at all.
No, he won't, because I'm in touch with his dad, and I think he will say hello to us.
That's very good. Very good.
Now, I'm not sure if we will be invited to the Manor team hot dog party in Austin, but, you know, that's another story.
I do want to mention that Fernando Alonso did out-qualify Jenson Button.
Really?
Yes. Just to put it out there for you.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So, well, you know, you may have more prayers for him then. Do you really think that this tire pressure thing was the cause of demise of Mercedes team in Singapore? And will this be carried over to Nihon, i.e. Suzuka?
It's very possible. And I've mentioned this before. They could have been cheating all the time. Now that they're monitoring these tire pressures and they've been caught below par, let's see what happens. Nobody's divulged any data from previous races, but I submit to you that they are cheaters and evil.
Cheaters and evil, huh?
Mm.
A friend of mine used to race, many years ago, and I remember his comment to me one day. He says, we were talking about all the tricks, you know, Smokey Yonick and Roger Penske, you know, how they sometimes use a loophole and win a lot of races. And he says to me, you know, the first thing you always do in racing is you cheat, and you can cheat till you get caught.
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah, it could be the way of the world, I guess.
It's hence the expanding Michelin.
Oh, that was the thing about that tire, you know, it was already in use for over more than a season.
And it's correct.
When Ferrari felt threatened, they started crying. And talking
yep.
of crying, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, this was the first weekend where we did not hear the now business as usual bitching and moaning from the Red Bull heavies. In free practice 2 on Friday, Kvyat was the fastest ahead of Wake Me Up Before the Race, the one and only Kimi Raikkonen. Their performance, both in quali and race, are you surprised?
Do you know what? Red Bull is getting exactly what they deserve. Bad sportsmanship has no place on the track, no place in the paddock, no place in the garage, no place anywhere in Formula One. These people are stinko, 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 and they're going to get what they deserve because karma comes around, and I'm telling you, they have made some seriously bad judgment calls, and Renault's going to get the last laugh for sure because they're going to come back and blow some bootay out of the water. But the second thing is, how long has Williams gone without a world championship?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, look at McLaren. They had so many
yes.
lean years.
I mean, you don't see Williams or McLaren whimpering and crying about the engine manufacturer, the Toyota engine, the BMW engine, the Renault engine, the Mercedes engine at Williams. It's a completely, I mean, you could tell who's a class act, who isn't a class act. And for Red Bull to come out like a spoiled child, wah, 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 if we're not winning, we're not interested in being in the sport. Well, you know what? See ya. Goodbye. Sayonara. Arrivederci.
Yeah, you know, I'll just as a point of reference, McLaren many years ago went with the Peugeot engine, complete disaster from day one. But, you know, they realized marriage is not working and they walked away. And you never heard finger pointing, okay?
Yeah.
And if you recall, when BMW was supplying engines to Williams, both parties agreed to cancel the contract with 1 year remaining. And I remember doing the interview with Dr. Mario Tyson in his office. I asked him some of the comments that Patrick had made about BMW and their engines. And all he said was, I was very surprised to hear that. But this Red Bull thing is just biting them so badly that Mercedes has turned them, they have said 9. And VW is now in, you know, like you said, they may even be pulling out of Le Mans. So forget the Formula One thing. And I just do not understand. They would even think to ask Ferrari to give them the same engine that the Ferrari is going to use in their own cars. That's not going to happen.
I agree. I mean, I don't know what they're thinking. And Ferrari still hasn't been, they have not committed. The Marchionne has given the decision to Arrivabene, and Arrivabene still hasn't made the decision to provide Red Bull with motors. So, you know, I just don't know what to think, but honestly, I believe that Bernie Eccleston is going to step in for the sake of Formula One and the grid and convince Ferrari with large dollar signs to furnish Red Bull with a year-old engine just so everybody is copacetic.
Yeah, and I don't know what part of Italy Signor Arriva Bene comes from, but his demeanor and his looks, I have a feeling maybe he's from Sicily. And, you know, they mean business in Sicily. And I think this, you know, there is even talk or reports and quotes from both Dietrich Mateschitz and, you know, Christian Horner that they may just pull out at the end of the season.
They could just pull out. Unfortunately, they have contracts with drivers. They have contracts with Formula One. It's not as simple as just saying you're going to pull out. And I believe Bernie will intervene and get them a motor. That, I think, is going to happen for sure.
Yeah, but they have the money and wealth to pay that contract they will be breaking with FOM. Let me just tell you something about their driver contracts, okay? Mm-hmm. I heard it from at least two or three drivers who were either in the program or were not in the program but approached by Red Bull. The verbiage I heard from a couple of the racing people was, I'm not going to make any money if I'm with Red Bull. It's a very one-sided contract because, you know, keep in mind, they are picking up drivers who are very talented, but they don't have, you know, rich daddies to keep them going in karting. You know, people like Alonso and Sebastian Vettel, even Lewis Hamilton, they could not even completed their karting career if the sponsors had not come in.
Right.
And I think Lewis was just quoted in one of the websites that, you know, they were asking him about, you know, how expensive the sport is and the cost of entry. And he mentioned, you know, that without Mercedes, I would be nowhere. And he says, you know, my dad was working four jobs just to help me in karting. It's a good thing for drivers, the Red Bull thing. But at the same time, if you talk to people like Scott Speed, Robert Wickens, with Antonio Liuzzi, it can be a bad thing too.
Absolutely. And speaking of bad things, Pastor Maldonado has been signed for 2016.
Yeah, this is the greatest racing news in the last 24 hours.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's, you know, I don't know. You know, this guy, you know, I'm very happy that he won that race for his people, Venezuela and all that. And the win was very impressive in Spain over Sebastian, over Nando and Kimi Raikkonen. And but since then, you know, the guy even crashed on a demo run in Caracas. I mean, how pathetic is that?
Yeah. I don't know. I was stunned.
No, I mean, you know, I thought he was bringing $20-25 million. Now I'm reading it's like $45-50 million a year.
Correct. It's $50 million. It's serious kahunas.
And, you know, his management team is led by Nicola Tart. So Nicola Tart must be on a yacht in Bermuda Triangle right now.
He's definitely on top of the Bermuda Triangle, not in it.
There you go.
Thank you. But, yeah, I thought that was the most hilarious thing I've heard all week. I was glad to hear Sergio Perez re-signed, the normal stuff there. And, you know, Perez says he had a shot at the Renault drive for next year. I don't know about that. A lot of these people seem to honk their own horn, but it is what it is.
Yeah, and the thing I feel sad about is that Nico Hülkenberg has signed for a few years with Force India, right?
Correct.
So basically, that means he will never drive for Ferrari, and he will never be in a McLaren or any of the... Let's put it this way, he will not be a number one driver at a top team, and I think this kid is very talented, and it's a waste of his talent that this how his career, it's just, you know, one of those things, you know, timing is so critical in this business.
Absolutely. And when you have Pastor Maldonado getting re-signed, Kimi Raikkonen getting re-signed, you sit there and you just scratch your head. You have no idea what's going on. And then a few years go by, Hülkenberg's too old, so he's happy to stay at Force India. And then you've got the Max Verstappens who are now being praised for disobeying orders. It's fantastic where if you go to Australia, Sebastian Vettel is deeply hated to this day for disobeying orders and not letting Mark Webber getting that win. So it's a strange world we live in, Nasser.
Yeah, but, you know, call it a mistake or a screw up, but this kid, Sebastian Vettel, is just incredible talent, just like Lewis, just like a young Nando, just like a young Kimi Raikkonen. And again, you know, for me to look at Kimi Raikkonen, his first year in Sauber, which was not too long ago, and all those glorious years in McLaren, to think that this talent is going to retire with one championship, it's absolutely unbelievable.
It is. what it is, Nasser. But speaking of Sebastian Vettel, this was a great Grand Prix, but not only by Sebastian Vettel, but by Ferrari. They dominated the weekend. They had the pace, and so did Renault.
Yeah. And, you know, the one thing, historical note, Sebastian Vettel has now one more win than Ayrton Senna, so he's now on the top three list. And this is all happening in the last decade. It's unbelievable, Clark.
It is unbelievable, but I think the reliability of the cars has really played into the statistics these days. And the fact that in the old days, Ayrton Senna was always taking out Alain Prost on the first lap. So that contributed to a lot of the lower records of that era. But nevertheless, these are fantastic stats. We're watching great racing. I'm very happy about it. And if Ferrari continues with their progress and Mercedes, having spent all of their tokens and maybe have made a mistake with one token or two and can't reverse that token, we might see an interesting end to the 2015 season, Nasser.
Yeah, this token business reminds me of like the Coney Island, you know, Ferris wheel and going to some kiddie fun place where you get tokens. I mean, I don't even want to understand how these token things work. But, you know, like you say, it is what it is. But I have a feeling that whatever Renault is doing, they have a game plan. And, you know, this is a company unlike Honda. You know, when this guy, Luca Marmorini, who was the designer of the Ferrari engine last year, when he was let go, he was picked up by Renault very quickly. And even this new guy who's head of their racing department, Cyril Abitbol, he was at Lotus. And then he left Lotus to join. So they know what it will take to win. And if they have to bring in, you know, some gizmo and some engineers from different parts of the world, they will, because they want to win.
Absolutely. And with Fernando on board, we're going to be back in town.
And, you know, one thing I have to say, this gentleman of Lebanese descent, Carlos Ghosn, whatever that last name is, Carlos G, let's call him Carlos G. I was very surprised that him being Brazilian, that when they had the Renault team, that he did not put Lucas Di Grassi as one of the drivers when Lucas Di Grassi came very close to winning the GP2 championship. So this guy is a very serious businessman. He wants performance. He wants it now. And the only thing that is left coming back to Renault, and unfortunately it won't be happening, is Flavio.
I think Flavio's son might come back.
Does he have a son? Or?
No, but I sent him a text. I told him he can adopt me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Flavio was something, man.
Yes. Hey, I look pretty good in a mankini.
Really?
Yeah. Machismo. Yes. So, yeah, we can only hope 2016 could be exciting for Renault. We'll see what happens. But the only problem is they signed Pastor Maldonado, but they didn't stipulate whether he's driving or not. He could be delivering the pizza.
No, the interesting thing is Romain Grosjean is now answering every question, kind of like Kimi Räikkönen. I have made up my mind, and that's all he's saying. And the strong reports are that he is coming to Haas team, and his whole agenda is that he will be having Ferrari engine. Ferrari engineers will know how good his feedback is. And this is a very good talent, just like Nico Hülkenberg. And I would like to see this kid go to Ferrari while he's still at the top of his game. And I think he's a good driver.
I understand. But Ferrari is very tough to get in. It's tough with Daniel Ricciardo lurking around in a couple of years. He could be a perfect fit for Ferrari as well.
Yeah, the Italian name, and he's very good. But I cannot see him going there while Sebastian Vettel is there.
But what about the Verstappens?
Yeah, that guy, his name is also dropped quite a bit driving for Ferrari when Kimi, you know, goes cycling or NASCAR or whatever.
Camping World Truck Series, Nasser.
Is it still called Camping World?
I have no idea, Nasser. I mean, you know, I'm here in the land of Traction Avant, Renault.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you're in California. Excuse me.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So anyway, why don't we take a quick break so I can wet my whistle?
Okay, sir. We shall revisit Motorsports Mondial in 2 minutes.
And before we go back to the king with Motorsports Mondial, here's Loosh on the Loose.
Hello. A big welcome from Australia. This is Lucien Byfield. I used to do the Byfield Bypass. Now we're going to call it Loosh on the Loose, thanks to Nasir. So much to talk about. It's been so long. What I'd like to talk about the most, the thing that's been bugging me for quite a while, is the petulance and the bitchiness of the drivers regarding safety or mechanical breakdowns. I'd like to parallel what I used to see in the 80s and 90s when I got super passionate about Formula One versus what I see today. Now, there are extremes in both eras, and one of the things that I've got to point out is social media. When I got into Formula One in the mid-80s and became obsessed, it was very hard to get hold of the latest information, especially in Australia. There was a phone line you could call up. It cost a lot of money and you could get some very basic news. But today, we will see every single comment, everything taken out of context, all of the ups and downs and the extremes. So some of what I say today may not be completely correct, but the perception that I'm getting consistently from modern Formula One, and that is the drivers, is almost an entitlement attitude. Now, there used to be a saying that Formula One drivers have to have the bastard quality to be a winner, a champion. And you have to be petulant. You have to be a prima donna. You have to have tantrums and hysterics. That's always happened. But I think back to like Nigel Mansell in 1986 when the tyre blew in Adelaide, costing him the championship. I remember seeing an interview. I mean, he was gutted. He was devastated. But he didn't start threatening Goodyear. He didn't start going off his trolley at the manufacturer. He didn't attack the track. You know, there was a time it seemed that drivers understood more than now that racing is dangerous, that tyres exploded, that DNFs were part of life. If you look back to the Michael Schumacher era, he's possibly the driver who has enjoyed the biggest long-term reliability record. And that is also a big contributing factor to his statistics. Now, today, I think back to, say, Spa, where Vettel's tyre blew. Now, I know Jules Bianchi had just died officially, and people were probably upset, but I think his reaction and his outburst, slagging Pirelli the way he did and how this is not allowed to happen and you could have killed me, it's just a little too extreme. And, like, over the years, we've noticed Lewis Hamilton, when things haven't gone his way, he's not the calm person we're seeing right now. Right now, we're seeing a very calm, very mature, very take-it-on-the-chin Lewis Hamilton. And I think of that especially with Singapore last night. You know, first DNF of the year, and he has, really, when he's interviewed, he had quite a calm demeanor. He was very, almost, didn't care. He was happy. But then again, that 50-plus points lead that he did have, plus he's killing his teammate, and money, 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 success, Rihanna, rap album coming out, all the different things. I think he does not really have a reason to sulk or complain. It would be very different, I promise you, if that DNF had cost him the championship lead. It's really remarkable to look back over the years and just see how reliability and, you know, tyre technology, you know, all of the things that we've noticed change in the last, you know, 20, 30 years has kind of taught drivers and given them, it's hard to express exactly what it is, but it's given them this entitlement and this vibe of sort of like deserving a break and deserving an opportunity. One of the people I've loved the most over the years is Mark Webber. It's not that he didn't whinge. He certainly did sometimes. It's not that he didn't complain. He had his moments. But you read his book or you look at him in interviews today, and he's asked questions like, how did you feel about the reliability issues? Or how did you feel about the way you were treated? Or do you feel that Formula One was unfair to you? Or how do you feel about not winning that world championship? And Mark Webber will just straight out say, I was given a great opportunity. I gave it my best. I didn't cut the mustard when I needed to. Things like that. And I think, where are those kind of drivers? You know, Sebastian Vettel is such a prima donna when things don't go his way. You hear it on the pit to car radio. You hear it all the time. And Hamilton, oh my goodness. Up until this year, the bitching and moaning and complaining and like, don't talk to me in the corners and what's wrong with this car? And it's undrivable. I've got no power. I've got no grip. Yeah, it's almost like we've gone from having men like, you know, Mansell and Alacy and you know, and we've got these boys who like shriek every 5 seconds when something goes wrong. Was it the British Grand Prix a couple of years ago where Alonso in the Ferrari and Vettel in the Red Bull, they were dicing lap after lap, and they played some of the pits to car radio communications. Oh my goodness, it was like listening to children going, did you hear that? Did you see that? He did this to me. He cut me off. Oh, he can't do that. That's not fair. Talk to Charlie. Talk to Charlie. It's like, come on, guys. Grow up. Things go wrong. This is life. These guys are paid millions of dollars. They're one of, what is it, 20 people in the whole wide world who gets to do Formula One. And sometimes when things go wrong, that's just part of life. I want to see an era in Formula One where when things go wrong, there's a lot of dignity. And the one person that I can think of who consistently shows that is Nico Rosberg. Now, I'm a pretty big fan of him, but yes, he's not cutting it this year. But do you ever hear him truly bitch and moan and complain? I don't think so. He certainly did a few races ago when he said Lewis was deliberately going slow. But he gets over it quickly. He doesn't sulk in the same way as certain other drivers do. When Vettel's not winning, oh, the sulks. When Hamilton's not getting his own way, oh, the petulance and the pouting. Nico is relatively consistent. He'll admit straight out, I don't like being beaten. I didn't like what happened today. It's frustrating, but he gets over it. But then again, like I said right at the start, to be a true champion, to be a true winner, sometimes you have to have that whinging bastard quality that used to be talked about. And maybe that is Nico Rosberg's problem. Anyway, that's enough ranting on from me. Hopefully we'll be doing a bit more of this over the next few months. This is Loosh on the Loose from Australia. See you later, Formula One Weekly.
Thank you, Loosh. Looking forward to the next one. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the King, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And also, Clark, I would like to take this opportunity to thank Mr. Lucien Byfield for taking his time to send us this Aussie-style rant and rave, which we appreciate and look forward to more from him. And if any of our listeners want to send us some segment or some ideas, we're always we have an open mind like Steve Fogg.
Who?
Steve Fogg? Remember him?
Oh yeah, Yahoo Ads.
Have you seen him lately, by the way?
No.
How about our executive producer David Tapia?
No.
New daddy in town?
They've all abandoned me for they have young children and they have wives and families and stuff.
You and me against the world from different sides of the United States.
Correct.
Okay, that's good. Okay, sir, we will start with this famous race event, Masters of F3 at Sanford. Great weekend for Italian driver Antonio Giovinazzi in the 25th edition of this classic F3 event, which started out as Marlboro Masters of F3. Signor Antonio won the qualifying race on Saturday, which gave him pole position for Sunday's event. And on Sunday, he led the race from start to finish. Young English driver George Russell was second. And this is a name, George Russell, who I think is going places. We interviewed him some years ago when he was racing go-karts in Las Vegas. Sete Camara was third man on the podium. American driver Ryan Tewiter was seventh. And you know, Clark, we have missed out on a couple of weekends to do the podcast. So I want to mention a couple of things that have happened in the recent 2 weeks. Mark Marquez wins in Misano at Viatico. Rain on and off at Misano brought sunshine to him and a trip to the kitty litter for Lorenzo. Lorenzo, who is originally from Mallorca, lost more points to Yamaha teammate Valentino Rossi after crashing. But this title fight, since Marquez is saying he cannot win the championship, I think this is going down to the wire between two Yamaha riders, the doctor and Mr. Lorenzo. And I love Rossi calls him Jorge Lorenzo. Okay, but Rossi was fifth in this race, but you know, extended the lead a little bit more over Lorenzo. And two privateers made it to the podium, which was very good. Bradley Smith on a Yamaha was second, and Scott Redding, I believe, is the name, third on his Honda. Now, also, I think it was 2-3 weeks ago, Adrian Newey's son wins his first race. He was in the British F4 thing. And Dr. Jonathan Palmer's second son, I don't have his first name here, but he is explained very easily, Julian's brother, he took the British F4 championship. So congratulations to all these youngins. This is another English kid. I think he's going to make it to Formula One. Oliver Rowland. He is rolling towards victory in the World Series by Renault Formula 3.5. And as we have discussed, Formula Renault is getting out of this formula. So whenever the new name is mentioned, we will let our people know. And you remember Tom Blomqvist, Stig Blomqvist's son, he was racing and then he had his accident. He's now in DTM, and a couple of weeks ago, he took victory, his first in the DTM. So belated congratulations to him. And our congratulations to the man from Florida, Mr. Spencer Piggott. He did a very good job of winning the Indy Lights series. And the Indy Lights season went on after the main Indy Lights series was over. Champion season was over. And this is a great win for Spencer Piggott from Florida. So our congratulations to him. Looking forward to Japanese Grand Prix Suzuka. What do you think is going to happen, Mr. Rogers?
Well, I think there's going to be a monsoon. Honda is going to spend some tokens. They're going to fix the gearbox problems. And Fernando Alonso is going to get his first win for McLaren.
My goodness. Now, this rain that you are talking about, is it really on the radar and the forecast, or is this your wishful thinking?
Okay, this is the deal. As you know, Lotus has had some problems paying bills. Well, their freight arrived at Suzuka very late. It was pouring rain, and since the bills were not paid, even their hospitality suite where they feed the drivers and the staff, you've been in those before. You know, GP2, GP3 has hospitality suites, and that's where everybody gets a meal, watches television, and listens to the podcast of F1Weekly.com.
Yes.
Well, they were locked out of that. Other teams had to feed Grosjean and Maldonado. And, of course, they went to the Renault suite that has lots of money and lots of food.
Yes.
But it was pouring. So this was a couple of days ago. Therefore, the weekend looks to be very wet and moist.
Yeah. Now, I'm glad you brought up that thing about Renault having all these issues. But hopefully, you know, within a week or two, we will have the news that Renault is buying them. So all the because Friday is also the deadline from Her Majesty's tax service people. So they need to pay some serious buck to different people.
Exactly. They've got some serious bills to pay, or they might not even make it to some other Grand Prix like USA and what have you. So it's going to be interesting. I think Renault is going to come in, pay some of those bills, fire Pastor Maldonado, and hopefully get Fernando back. We'll see what happens, but it is what it is. But now I have to read 50 words from the F1 Weekly Forum on the Grand Prix of Singapore. K.A. Sin says, a race of the unexpected, especially if your name is Lewis. You don't get pole, you don't win, and you don't even finish. Meanwhile, the red team get the third of their hoped for two races this year, and we get a whole new reason for a safety car with a track incursion during the race, a thing rarely seen. Raythump says, someone please wake me up from this unusual dream. A little voice that sounds strangely like Max Verstappen says no. Leon Bray, not the most enthralling race of the season. Seb control the race throughout. Red Bulls shine on a circuit with lots of corners and no high-speed straights. Verstappen shows what can be done in Singapore. Pity the TV didn't show any of his run from dead last to eighth. Still a weird-looking race without much color or any scenic backdrop. A bit gray, like Singapore, this time of year. Neon Zapper says, Monaco of the East is a very tight track with lots of corners. Little room to pass and a guaranteed safety car. Yet, despite all odds against him, 17-year-old Max Verstappen drove from last place just to get a final message from his team to move over and let his teammate pass. No! So there you have it, Nass. A few 50 words from the F1 Weekly Forum, an outstanding group of people. So there you have it, Nass. I'm looking forward to Japan. Also, this weekend at Laguna Seca is Rennsport 5. And that's a big Porsche celebration. It's very exciting. Mark Webber will be there with the winning 919 Porsche Hybrid from Le Mans, which also won last weekend at Austin for the World Endurance Championship.
Are you going?
I am going. I'm excited. Going Friday to pick up my credentials. and have a great time. Might even, and unfortunately, Nico Hülkenberg won't be there because he was part of the winning team at Le Mans, but Mark Webber has plenty of time on his hands, so he'll be there with his entire team. Laguna Seca always has a full plate.
Yeah, it's a beautiful track and, of course, a great part of the United States where it is located, and very nice.
Yeah, so I'm excited. So there you have it, Nass. Fernando on the podium. We'll see what happens. But let's hope that Mercedes keeps the languish. And let's hope the rain in Japan will loosen up that rust and let that pendulum swing a little bit more.
Well, if it rains heavy, then it's either going to be Lewis or Sebastian Vettel. These two kids are very good in the rain.
You think so?
Yeah, I know so, because I remember what happened in the 2007 Japanese Grand Prix at Mount Fuji Circuit. Somebody crashed on his own. You remember? You know who?
I don't remember nothing.
Yeah. Okay, just to let you know, it was Lewis Hamilton's two-time world championship winning teammate.
That's good. You know my friend?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's okay. As long as Fernando wins, that's all that counts, Nasser.
Yeah, it's... I would like to see at least, talking of Renault, Pastore is signed, so they will keep him. They're not going to let him go because he's, $50 million Renault can use right now. But I've heard some news that they may take Esteban Ocon, who is a young French driver, like on the Lewis program, humble background, who won the F3 series last year over Max Verstappen. So I would love to see a young French driver who is very good. Get there, and I will not be surprised that one of the seats, even the Haas F1 team has said, will go to one of the Ferrari, test drivers. It could be Esteban Gutierrez. It could be Jean-Éric Vergne. I think it might be Esteban Gutierrez because he is sponsored by Telmex, which is owned by Carlos Slim, and money talks even on a racetrack.
That's very true, Nasser, and I have to admit, if F1 Weekly was paid $50 million for Pastor Maldonado as my co-host, I would do it.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Clark.
You're welcome, Nasser. Just want to give you my vote of confidence.
Yes. Even though I have more zeros than $50 million, I'm nothing. Thanks a lot, Clark.
It's okay, Nasser. It was just to make a comparison of how much money these people yield and wield and throw around to get jobs.
Yes, very, very true, sir.
So anyway, thanks for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial, Nasser. Once again, let's thank Lucien Byfield from Australia.
Thank you, sir, and we will talk soon and hope to hear from listeners on who is going to be world champion, what will happen to the McLaren thing and next year, and we go from there.
There you have it, Nas. I want to thank all the listeners who are listening. Good night.
Thank you and bye-bye.